Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifices were important and instrumental to the life of Old Testament believers. And sometimes in our day and age, it can be a challenge for us because we can be quite unfamiliar with them because we simply just don't do them, right? So when talking about sacrifices, I find it helpful to talk about three things. And they all start with the letter P. They are purpose, place, and presentation. Purpose. Sacrifices had a lot of purposes and uses. In the times of the patriarchs, the times of Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, people offered sacrifices to thank God for the blessings that he had given to them. Later on, sacrifices focused on atonement and were done to cover up for sin. When that would be done, animals would have to be killed and their blood would need to be shed. Imagine having to kill and sacrifice an animal for something that you had done against God's Ten Commandments. That would certainly help to put some things into perspective and make you think a little bit differently about your actions. Place. Sacrifices were often done in the tabernacle and at the temple. Picture the combination of a church, slaughterhouse, and open-air kitchen, and that's kind of what these two places would have been like. Picture the sight and smell of animals in God's house, the bleating of goats, the cooing of doves and pigeons, the smell of fresh-baked bread along with burnt meat and flesh. Picture the sight and commotion of people coming in and going out, buying and selling, talking and singing and praising and shouting. Picture blood and lots of blood. During major feasts like Passover, it would not be uncommon for the priests to be up to their ankles in blood. Presentation. God would be given the best that would be offered to him. When animals were given, they were to be pure and without blemish. They had to be healthy and strong and not the runts of the litter. God deserved the best and demanded the best. Sacrifices were to be given to him and him alone. When they would be offered to other gods, that's when the Israelites would get into deep trouble. So why are we talking about sacrifices this morning? Why are we talking about sacrifices? Well, in the book of Romans, a book about God's grace. We're talking about sacrifices because Paul is talking about sacrifices this morning. And as he does, he uses a weird descriptor. He uses an oxymoron. See if you can find it. He writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Did you find what sounds strange in our text? Isn't it living sacrifices? Last I checked, sacrifices were dead. They were killed. They're not living. They're not alive. Being a living sacrifice is like saying, "I have an open secret," or "I want the larger half." It's like telling a person to act natural, or that you endured a deafening silence. These things don't make sense. They're contradictory. They're oxymorons. A living sacrifice? Today, we'll take a look at this concept, how and why we can be living sacrifices, and how to apply that to our lives. So how and why are we living sacrifices? Let's hear again what Paul says. He says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Paul encourages us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices because of the mercies of God. Notice that the word for mercy here is plural. It's mercies, not mercy. A lot of English translations just have the singular, but the word is actually plural. The word mercies covers a wide scope of things. In the context of Romans, in the immediate context, Paul had just talked about the doctrine of election, that teaching that God has chosen believers in Christ before the world began. This means that our salvation is sure, it's certain, it's guaranteed. We don't have to do anything about it. We don't have to worry about it through faith in Jesus. Paul has this in mind as he's talking about God's mercy. He also has in mind the other things he's talked about in Romans so far, things like the hope, righteousness, new life, and grace that we have in and through Jesus Christ. His mercies cover a wide scope of things, but they're grounded in and stem from Christ's once and for all sacrifice for us. Let's revisit the P's of sacrifice for this purpose. Jesus died to cover and atone for our sin. He shed and gave every drop of his precious blood to do so. Paul earlier said in Romans, "Since therefore we've now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." Our Lord's sacrificial death makes us right with God, and it saves us. Place. Jesus was taken outside of the city and crucified on a cross for us. Presentation. Jesus offered his holy and perfect life to God on our behalf. He was sinless and without fault. John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was offered to God for us. It's because of the mercies of God, which stem from his once and for all sacrifice for us, that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices. This is not done for his mercy, but it's done in response to his mercy. When hearing about the love he has for us, the great deed he has done for us, and all that he does for us, how can we not live in this life in calling? Why would we not want to be a living sacrifice for him, living a life that's dead to sin and alive to him through Jesus? It's living sacrifices. Let's revisit those the three P's one last time. Presentation. Through faith in Christ, we are seen as righteous, pleasing, and acceptable before God. Because of Jesus, we present our lives to him. Purpose. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we can be a living sacrifice for him. We live a life of service for God, and we do that through serving others. God, he doesn't need our good works, but the people sitting next to you do. The people on your right, the people on your left, the people behind and in front of you, they need your good works. They need your acts of service. Our acts of service are done in thanks and praise to the one who gave himself for us. This life of service is lived in response to the mercy that has been given. It's not done for it. And place. Our lives of service to God and one another don't just take place right here in his temple, his house at Emmaus, but they also take place outside of these walls. In St. Paul and in Roseville, they take place at our two-bedroom homes and at our jobs. They take place at nursing homes, grocery stores, and hospitals. We live this life of service in the world around us and to the people around us as well. And our God, he equips us for service as living sacrifices. He does so through baptism, where he renews not just our minds, but also our hearts. In our baptism, we're joined to him, the living sacrifice, and given his mercy. But we're not just given his mercy as well. We're given gifts, and he gives us gifts to serve him. Paul mentions a number of them at the end of our text. He mentions preaching, service, teaching, encouragement, contribution, leadership, and mercy. This list is not exhaust, but rather it's just a starting point. We use these gifts and others like them to serve him and to serve others. But Paul has a warning for this. Listen to what he says. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." Paul warns the Roman Christians not to think too highly of themselves because of these gifts. He doesn't want them to take pride in their status and in the gifts that they've been given. Today, though, I think we often have the opposite problem, believe it or not. We often don't see or think that God works in us and through our lives. When I did soccer, I was a bench player. I rode the pine, as they would say. I saw myself as not good enough, talented, or able to be a starter. And we can begin to really think about ourselves that way when we start defining ourselves that way. We can see ourselves as bench players in God's church. We can be reluctant to serve or to use our gifts. We might see ourselves as insignificant or unable to do a specific task. We might not think that God works through us, but rather he works through others and does it much better than he would through me. But you know what? That's not true at all. He works in all of our lives through the gifts that he has given each and every one of us. He works through those small conversations that we have about him. He works through those acts of service that we do, even the mundane and small ones, like opening a door for a stranger, changing a diaper, or cooking dinner. God works through these things and is served by him. These things are not insignificant, but they have great value. He has equipped us for service. As we finish up, let's revisit one last thought. Is a living sacrifice an oxymoron? No. It's a wonderful reality. As God's living sacrifices were presented to him through faith as righteous in Christ, as living sacrifices, we have a purpose in this world, and that's to serve God through serving others, and we have been given a place to do it, which is right here and right now. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the once and for all sacrifice. Amen.